Blessed are
the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
Blessed
are the merciful.
This is Carol Monaco of Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, bringing you another edition of Mission Improbable. Today, I'm on location in our nation's capital with Father Jacob Ambrose Walter, pastor of St. Patrick's Church. Father Walter is responsible for bringing the Little Sisters to his parish, Washington's very first Catholic church. Welcome to Mission Improbable, Father Walter. We're so happy to have you with us. By the way, you've become quite a celebrity since the Lincoln assassination. Did you ever think you'd be directly involved in such an historic event?
Well, I wouldn't call it directly. I wouldn't want anyone to think I had anything to do with it. It is true that the alleged conspirators lived in my parish, and I was Mary Surratt's confessor. I had a great sympathy for her. After all, what Catholic woman would go to communion on Holy Thursday and be guilty of murder on Good Friday? On the scaffold, I heard her final confession. That was a day I will never forget. The first woman executed by the federal government. Can you believe it? But you didn't invite me to talk about Mary Surratt. You asked me to come and talk about the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yes, Father, you're right. Please, tell us what motivated you to bring the Little Sisters to Washington.
I know firsthand how much this city needs the Little Sisters. I've been here at St. Patrick's for many years, and I've seen the huge changes in our city, and not generally for the better.
What do you mean?
The war has taken a tremendous toll on the federal city. After the Union defeat at Bull Run back in 61, thousands of wounded and panic-stricken survivors flooded the city. Military hospitals sprang up all over town. Even Holy Trinity in Georgetown was converted into a hospital. Imagine, someday Holy Trinity will be the parish of the first Catholic U.S. president. 50,000 soldiers were taken care of in the city, some with war wounds and many with diseases that readily spread to the civilian population. As a result of the wartime inflation, the price of just about everything, from food to housing, skyrocketed, and even Washington's old genteel families couldn't afford the most basic items. During the war, the city became a mecca for criminals and refugees alike, not to mention 40,000 former slaves freed by Union troops. Thousands of these contrabands resigned themselves to living in federal camps and overcrowded shanty towns. Municipal facilities have been seriously overwhelmed with the garbage, the sewage, and the streets, and even lack of drinking water. Most of the streets aren't even paved, so there's mud everywhere. I'm sure you get the idea. 10 years later, Washington still has not completely recovered from the chaos of the war. Our nation's capital is not the glamorous place many people think it is. The neighborhood around St. Patrick's wasn't affected as much as many parts of the city, and we didn't have to open the church up as a military hospital, although we offered to. But we've even had our challenges. Our parishioners have been heroic in aiding the poor and in nursing the wounded. We opened a bread line for the destitute and sheltered the children of military fathers in St. Joseph's Orphanage. Imagine, we were criticized by one member of the hierarchy for distributing meat to the poor on Fridays.
And since the war, I was told that across the city, the parish has set an example in its charitable outreach to the poor and its lively spiritual life.
By the grace of God, St. Patrick's has grown, and we've renewed our focus on the three pillars of the church: works of charity, education, and devotional life. We've always poured resources into the boys' orphanage, and despite the post-war depression, we found a new day for a girls' school. We started the school very modestly with three teenage girls and one sewing machine in a single room, but it's grown since then, and now a good number of girls are being trained in plain and fancy sewing, dressmaking, and practical household management. We're doing a good job with the youngsters, but for the last few years, I've been increasingly concerned about the treatment of the city's indigent elderly. That's why I was eager to have the Little Sisters of the Poor in our parish. With Archbishop Spaulding's permission, and with the support of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, I invited the Little Sisters to come to Washington to take up residence in a building the Christian Brothers had recently vacated. We've refurbished it and decorated it for its new mission. When the Little Sisters arrived on February 2nd, they were stunned.
Yes, the sisters themselves told me how graciously you and the St. Vincent de Paul Society received them. They showed me a copy of a letter they had written to their mother general in France. I'd like to read you a part of it. Here's what they told her. We could scarcely believe it. The best rooms were furnished with carpets, which were later removed. In the other was a good fireplace, with the fire already burning. We went up to the first floor. 10 beds were prepared and beautifully furnished. Nothing was missing. We were quite surprised, and our astonishment was the joy of the good parish priest. He led us to the kitchen, where nothing was wanting. Stoves, kitchen utensils, vessels of all kinds. Then in the back kitchen, we found 2 barrels of flour, another of salt fish, a supply of sugar, coffee, tea, wood, and coal, and much more. In a hallway was a large table with 10 drawers, destined for the sisters. The table was all set for a meal. The ladies of the parish had prepared the dinner and considered it an honor to serve us our first meal. From this description, Father, I would say that the Little Sisters have been given a heartier welcome here in Washington than in any other of their first 10 homes.
That's only fitting, don't you think? After all, this is our nation's capital. Seriously, though, I feel that if we ask the Little Sisters to take care of our destitute elderly, we owe it to them to help them the best we can. Just the other day I told them, I will always be your father, and I will do all I can for you.
In these difficult economic times, do you think the local people will be able to support the sisters' ministry long term?
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure of it. The sight of the Little Sisters approaching strangers with their wooden bowls or carrying donated items home on their shoulders is quite a mystery to our American minds. But the sisters have already attracted a loyal band of supporters, Catholic and non-Catholic alike. And I plan to help them set up some of the fundraising methods that have proven successful in supporting St. Joseph's Orphanage.
Interesting. Can you give us an example?
Sure. Our most successful fundraiser for the orphanage has been the annual Pound Party. The event is sponsored by the Catholic Knights of America and has become a highlight of the local Catholic social season. The original idea was to charge a pound of food as the price of admission. The Pound Party has gotten so big that we had to find a large hall to hold it in. We sell real tickets now, and the evening includes dinner, dancing, and entertainment. But people still bring along a pound of food for the orphanage. I think this is a great event for the Little Sisters to undertake because, well, who can't afford a pound of food? The homey simplicity of the event seems to fit well with the sisters' humble ways and their trust in Providence.
That sounds charming, Father Walter. I have a hunch that with a friend like you, the Little Sisters are going to be just fine in Washington.
Yes, I think so too. Mark my words, I can see the day when the sisters are welcomed in federal buildings for their begging rounds and when they will be known in the halls of Congress. I think someday the Little Sisters of the Poor will even make their mark on U.S. history.
Father, we'll be sure to remember those prophetic words in the years to come. Thank you so much for joining us for Mission Improbable today. Friends, this is Carol Monaco signing off for today, tomorrow, and forever. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and tune in to our next podcast on the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, children of the heavenly King.
When on earth. Today, Tomorrow and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
To get my reward. For I said, blessed are the poor in spirit.